From the sports desk of the Northwest Florida Daily News, this is the Armchair Quarterbacks Podcast with your hosts, Seth Stringer and Sam Grubenhoff, the leading authorities on high school football for the Emerald Coast. Now it's the Armchair Quarterbacks Podcast.
Welcome to Armchair Quarterbacks, and we are officially halfway through the season, Sam Grubenhoff.
Are we Seth Stringer? Are we really halfway through the season?
Yeah.
And you know how we commemorated it?
Because
we're the best.
We're kind of selfless people, so we decided to hand out some awards.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Everybody loves awards. Isn't it awards season? Didn't we just get done with, like, the Emmys or something?
Yes, exactly. And who's to say which awards are more important, the Emmys or a Daily News midseason football award?
Oh, I think it's definitely ours.
Yes. True that. And I don't know, we really weren't divided on too many of the picks because the creme de la creme of the area, they're really good.
I mean, they made it pretty easy for us.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, when you have a team like Navarre and Baker, you know, it's kind of easy to eliminate other teams and say, you know, these are the state title contenders and they've earned it.
I mean, through 5 weeks of the year, yeah, two teams have clearly separated themselves among all the other teams in our area, and that is Baker and Navarre.
Exactly. So you want to get right into it, Sam?
Let's do it, Seth.
Okay. Baker, let's go for small schools because they don't get top billing.
Hashtag small school represent.
But man, we're looking good. That Daily News player of the year last year, Junior McLaughlin, wasn't a one-trick pony. He wasn't a fluke. We had him as a dandy dozen nod. And all he's done this year, they're 5-0. His numbers could be better. One of those is a Joshua Christian forfeit. But basically, he's averaging 193 rushing yards per game.
And 223 all-purpose yards a game.
Yeah, two punt returns for a touchdown. You know, in years past, they had guys like Jalen Chaleo to share the load with. This year, as you wrote in the midseason awards feature, that he's option 1, 2, 3, 7 for them. I mean, it's like hand the ball to Junior, just let him be.
And let him go. And all he's done with it, all of these all-purpose yards, all of these rushing yards, 770 rushing yards, I believe it was.
Was it 10 touchdowns?
10 touchdowns, yeah. I mean, this dude's a monster.
Peyton Rockwell has thrown the ball, I think, 11 times. And that seems like a lot.
It's probably too much. He should probably dial it back a little bit.
Yeah, he's like against Rocky. He was like the goalie in a blowout soccer match that like doesn't have any shots on goal, just sitting back there picking daisies. All he had to do was hand the ball off to Junior. Another guy making us look good is Dante Wright, who we both had as our large school player of the year.
And you know, honestly, we were kind of looking at the numbers, and they don't blow you away, but like, if you go to these games and you sit there and you watch him, his impact is undeniable and, like, bar none, the best in the area.
He's the kicker on kickoffs. You know, he splits them. He splits the uprights on extra points. He returns kickoffs and punts, and no one kicks to him anymore. I don't even think Crestview kicked to him one time because they knew better. Against Crestview, he had 4 touchdowns. I was there. You know, he doesn't even average 5 carries a game, but Walls was like, this is a guy I want with the ball in his hands. He scored 4 touchdowns in the second half to lead him back from 28-0 in a 41-35 overtime win. And then he's pretty much their lead receiver, and that includes a roster that has Tyler England and Quinn Caballero.
And you forgot he plays defensive back, too.
Yes. He plays both ways.
And he plays both ways really well. Tulane's getting a player that they could plug and play just about anywhere and expect to score next year.
Exactly. Which, you know, a good segue is the man, you know, coaching Dante is obviously our coach of the year, Jay Walls.
You know, I heard there's a saying in Navarre, in yep, Walls we trust.
Walls we trust.
I also heard you made that up today.
I made it up. I'm going to try to put it on bumper stickers. I'm going to be a homer. I'm going to put it on my back of my car. It's going to be awkward when I pull up to Eagle Stadium or, you know, Jack Foster Stadium and, you know, Tim Haddon sees it or John Hicks sees it.
They're going to take away our parking spot at Navarre.
Yeah, I mean,
Niceville if you do that.
Yeah, the dude is, oh man, that's clutch. The dude is 64-15 at Navarre. all he does is win. I mean, he makes Final Fours. He wins district titles. I was pointing out to you, he has a winning record against Crestview, Fort Walton Beach, Choctaw, and Niceville. I don't think any other coach can say that in the area.
And I mean, this year, you know, we talked about the 28-0 deficit against Crestview. That's coaching. Like, you got to make sure your guys are ready to go in a game like that. And then the close game against Pine Forest, where they win in the final seconds, you know, 26-25. That's coaching, especially at the high school level.
And he's just so easy to talk to. Every time we call him, he appreciates our coverage. And they're kind of in the weird gray area where the Pensacola News Journal covers them. We cover them. In the past, both of us didn't cover Navarre as well as we should have. Now we're all aboard the Navarre train. We have been for 3-4 years now. And with Pensacola News Journal not covering live gamers with Navarre, you know, we've kind of taken that over. And man, Walls is just so humble. And gosh, he's like, I could have a beer with that guy. I don't know about you. Do you think you'd have a beer with us?
I don't know. We should ask him next time. I don't know if Matt Brunson would have a beer with us, but I think he might take us hiking.
Yeah, exactly. Good segue.
Awesome segue.
Our small schools coach of the year, Matt Brunson.
The dude literally climbs mountains, metaphorically, physically, emotionally. Mm-hmm. Every day is a mountain for Matt Brunson.
That dude just radiates like positive energy. I mean, that dude could write a self-help book. He could be like the Tony Robbins of the area, and people would listen to him.
I mean, you just feel good when you go to Doug Griffith Memorial and just stand on the sidelines and watch him do his job.
And the dude is chiseled from, like, you know, granite. I mean, he's in good shape. That dude does not have a dad bod.
Yeah. Not a single dad bod. And not a single regular season loss since 2015. He's won 25 straight in the regular season.
I know. This could be the year. I'm feeling it.
They got a solid offensive game plan. Hand the ball to Junior. Yeah, they got a solid defensive game plan. Don't let the other guys score.
You get through Jay. You get through Port St. Joe. You get through Bluntstown. You're to the state championship game already, right there. They already passed the test in Vernon, who is, you know, accepting transfers from all over. They're battle tested. You know, and the good thing that I respect about Brunson is, you know, he has 3 state titles as a player. You know, he went to Troy, won a national title. He was an assistant coach out of college, won a state title. He led Crestview to a Final Four, to a state championship appearance in 2002. He led Vernon to a Final Four, and now he's led Baker to 3 straight Final Fours. I mean, him and Walls, I don't want to say one's better. It's just when you have 2 guys like that leading the area, like it's not an indictment against, you know, you shouldn't feel bad if you're Hicks or Hatton or Tiza or all of our other area coaches. There's just so many good coaches, but those two, man.
This is a talented area, and it's a talented area as far as the head coaching position is concerned, too.
Yeah, exactly. Now, a fun award we have is Breakout Player of the Year. You know, we can start with large schools. Mine's Marlon Courtney. The dude passes the eye test. You know, he does have weapons with Caballero and Dante Wright, and he has a loaded backfield with Chris Williams and Dante Wright and Josh Carter. But, you know, the kid transferred into the area. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes, completes 63% of his passes. He knows how to throw a good deep ball. You know, I mean, the only game he didn't have a touchdown was against Crestview, and he still threw for a couple hundred yards.
I mean, he stepped right into Sage Chambers' spot, and it's like, you know, nobody blinked.
Yeah, we've commented so much about, you know, Crestview missing Bouchard, you know, and you know, yeah, Sage was a good quarterback for Navarre last year, you know, and then making the semifinals, region semifinals. Well, you know, Bouchard was maybe a little underrated because now we've seen, you know, Gillis and
Jack Corbin, they're kind of
struggle.
Yeah.
You know, there was, you know, yeah, there's been some learning curve in there. Not with Marlon Courtney. Marlon Courtney seems like he's better than Chambers. No offense to Chambers, but he's just kind of a dual threat. He's an athlete. He's a junior, so they got another year of him. I mean, Navarre, gosh, they just have so many playmakers.
And every year, I mean, they fill the spots, and it's like nobody misses a beat.
Yeah, he has like 900 passing yards. He has 10 touchdowns. He's doing well. He has a lot of interceptions. He has 9 interceptions. He can work on that.
My breakout player for the large schools is going to be TJ Pope, and we kind of wrestled with this one in the office. We wrestled with this one in the office a little bit just because, you know, he had a good year last year, 700 yards, 10 touchdowns, I think it was.
Yep.
Solid dude, But this year, he's really become the focal point of the offense, I feel like. He's got 7 scores so far through the year, 563 yards. He's averaging about 8 yards a carry, and he seems to go off every week. He's super consistent, you know, 150 yards, 200 yards just about every week so far.
The dude is quintessential Niceville. I mean, there's nothing impressive about his stature. He doesn't even approach 6 feet. He's not 200 pounds. He's not a bruiser. He's not a speedster. He just gets the job done.
He's just all effort, man. It's all hard out there for those Niceville kids.
Yeah, I like that pick. Small school breakout player of the year.
Let's do it. I got Brandon Siples from Freeport. Freeport, of course, lost Kaywon Powell last year, who was a 2,000-yard all-purpose kid. Great player. Went to Vernon in the offseason amid some controversy that we'll just avoid that for right now, because Brandon Siples has stepped in. And, like, Freeport hasn't missed a beat. I was talking to Sean Arntz about this kid earlier, and I was like, Sean, you got to be careful. You're going to get a reputation as the running back whisperer in this league. Yep. Because Siples has played 3 games so far. He's thrown 2 touchdowns. He's run for 3, and he's caught another 2. Dude's all over the field.
Yeah, Walton, and here's the thing about it. You know, I mean, Walton's having a terrible year. They'd never played this kid at running back. He transferred, probably because he wanted opportunity. He said it was for academic reasons, which it could have been.
Mm-hmm.
But the dude was just a cornerback at Walton, and now he's being, you know, just once he's given the rock 20 times, you know, he's a playmaker. He's trying to get a college scholarship, probably will get a college scholarship. Freeport's trying to battle its way into playoff contention. Just hand the dude the rock.
Or give him the rock to throw it, or pass the rock to him. Just get him the rock.
Yeah. Now, my breakout player for small schools is Mr. Drake Roberts. South Walton, man, flying under the radar this year at 3-2, number 3 in Region 1-4A FHSA power rankings. They're going to make the playoffs this year. They're going to have to do something wrong not to make the playoffs. And this dude is just redonkulous. That's what I said in the feature in the paper. Redonkulous.
He's putting up the yards you would expect for like a college quarterback or an NFL quarterback. You know, typically high school quarterbacks, that's not a position of need, honestly. You want a good running back and a good offensive line in high school, but this dude is tearing it up.
The dude's on pace for 3,000 passing yards. Just let that soak in for a little bit.
3,000.
He's another guy that has a lot of, I think he has 10 touchdowns, he has a lot of interceptions, but he has a couple of rushing touchdowns. Fantasy monster. I mean, you're talking about first round territory.
Could be, you know, he could be stating his claim as the best quarterback in the area by the time the year's over.
Yeah. And, you know, the whole thing last year with the dual quarterback thing, when you have 2 quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks.
The old Tom Landry slogan.
Yeah. Now they have Drake Roberts in Drake, South Walton Trust.
Drizzy.
Do you think he listens to Drake?
I think everybody listens to Drake.
Yeah. He's smooth.
Drake is Drake, man. He's like a genre all to himself.
Yeah. That about covers it on awards, right?
I think that wraps it up. You want to do some...
Let's do some previews for the week.
Little hot takes?
Yeah, let's do it. I got a schedule right in front of me.
I got the timer coming up.
We got some fun games. Let's start off with Crestview at Choctaw, the game I'm going to be at Friday night.
Starting district play.
Gosh, Choctaw's a mess at 1-4. But Crestview isn't much different. I mean, yeah, they're 3-2. They're ranked 7th in the power rankings, but man, they're coming off a couple of ugly losses these last 3 weeks. And it's not so much that the opponent they lost to wasn't good, Navarre and West Florida, 2 ranked opponents, but it's the fact that Crestview should have won both.
And they were in a position to win both. They just let it get away from them.
Yeah, you were at West Florida game last week. They led 21-7. They also led with under 3 minutes to play until 30 seconds left in the game or so when West Florida scored the go-ahead touchdown. Navarre, they were up 28-0, and then Navarre battled back, and then they had to force overtime. Didn't capitalize there. You know, they capitalized there. We're not talking about Jay Walls and Dante Wright. We're talking about Jay Stanton and Hatton.
Mm-hmm.
So Crestview's better than this, though, and this one's going to be ugly.
And they're going to rebound. I mean, I feel like this was probably the punch in the mouth they sort of needed to get themselves in gear. You know, last year, right around the time district play started, you know, they kicked Fort Walton in the teeth. They kicked Choctaw in the teeth just to, like, kind of get the juices flowing almost in time for that game against Niceville.
Yeah, and Choctaw's just too hobbled. They don't have any continuity at quarterback. You know, there's just no depth with Choctaw. Greg Thomas is doing his best with an inexperienced O-line. They're kind of like Fort Walton Beach, where they start off strong in games. They can't finish. Yeah, this one's going to be ugly.
Niceville, Fort Walton Beach. That's the game I'm going to be at.
That's going to be a fun one. There's some bad blood between those programs.
I know. I was talking to Coach Dorn about that earlier. He said that he still believes, you know, the transfer, you know, controversy that happened a few years ago, it's still in play, even though that a lot of those kids are probably gone by now.
Yeah, it's one of those things, you know, as an outsider, you're kind of like, hey, you know, yeah, it was hard to go through. I was covering it at the time, but it's like, it's been a long time. We just need to get over it. You know, Fort Walton Beach hasn't really regrouped from it, but you know, at the same time, the transfer rules are there for every team. You know, we see it in Walton County a lot, but yeah, there hasn't been, you know, Romeo Finley and Deontay Sheffield were two of the guys who transferred, and you know, now one's at Florida State, one's at Miami. You know, it worked out well for Niceville. It didn't for Fort Walton Beach. And, you know, really, I mean, I remember back in the, you know, Mike Owens days when, you know, he ended up leaving or whatever and kind of, I don't think he was technically fired, but he's kind of asked to leave. Everybody was restless with 6-7 win season with Mike Owens. Now they can't even get to 500.
I don't know. I think the bad blood makes for a good game. You saw it last year.
55-45.
It was a shootout.
Fort Walton Beach had it.
Beach High School. I mean, neither of us thought they had a chance going into that game, and all of a sudden, they were going to win.
I do wish they had a Kenyon Redmond this year, and Fort Walton Beach does not. So,
yeah, we don't think it's going to be that type of game this year, but like, you know, like I just said, we didn't think it was going to be that type of game last year either.
Last year was at Steve Riggs. I think that was a big difference maker. This one's at Eagle Stadium. Whew.
Anything can happen.
Yeah. Yeah, Fort Walton Beach, if they're competitive in this game, great.
Who we got next, boss?
Let's do Navarre and Navarre at Pace. And here's going to be an interesting game because Damian Bivens is one of the area's best running backs. The dude's on pace for like 2,500 rushing yards. He almost rushed for 400 yards against Choctaw last week. He's not going to do that against Navarre. He's going to have to get 60 or 70 carries to do that against Navarre. Navarre's 5-0. They're ranked fifth in the state. No one can stop Chris Williams, Josh Carter, Dante Wright. Even their fourth, fifth-string running backs are from the JV are being brought up and going crazy. We talked about Marlon Courtney earlier. You know, this is a big district game. So, is it a district game? Yeah, Pace is a district.
I don't think so.
No, it's not. It's not.
Gulf Breeze,
but it is
Milton,
a region game. It's a region game,
which they matter. I mean, in terms of the wild card spot, which Niceville or Navarre clearly isn't angling for at this point, but
yeah,
it's important.
Yeah, and Pace beat Fort Walton Beach and beat Choctaw, and they're 4-1. They're looking good.
Could be a good game.
Could be. I think Navarre, a couple touchdowns.
Navarre's got it going. Navarre's got it going, man.
Let's talk about South Walton. South Walton at North Florida Christian. Both 3-2 teams. You know, really, we've kind of let Tina cover some more South Walton. I'm looking forward to the South Walton Baker game coming up. But South Walton has me believing.
I mean, they're coming off a big win against Snook Christian. I mean, I know it's only a second-year program, but you can kind of use those big wins to sort of springboard yourself forward. Here in the last 2 weeks, Phil Tease has been impressed by how his run game has been able to start, getting going. And, you know, he's been wanting to have that balanced attack all year. I mean, Drake Roberts has been, you know, a flamethrower at quarterback. But if they can get, you know, both sides of that offensive ball working, they could be a real, you know, real troublemaking team down the road.
South Walton's always been a program that's throwing the ball 40, 50 times. And I love it. You know, like back in the days when they had Garofalo, they've always had a decent quarterback and they've been able to air it out. And I think that's kind of their identity. But it's good to hear Tease is trying to get a little balance in there.
I don't know. I like high school teams that are bold enough to throw it 40 times a game. You don't see that very often, you know. It makes for some long games, you know, covering them, but it's entertaining.
Yeah. Tonight, we're not going to, by the time this comes out, Walton's playing Rutherford pretty much in just a little bit, in about 10, 15 minutes. This is not quite 7 o'clock on a Thursday night. We are not covering that game because it wouldn't get in anyways in deadline, but we probably don't need to talk about much about this.
I mean, they're still looking for their first win, and it's been a rough year for them. I mean, Rutherford's only 1-4, so, you know, maybe they got a shot, but, you know, Rutherford's owned the matchup last year, 33-13 in that game. It's tough times in Walton right now.
Let's not feel too bad for Bobby Moore. He's pulling down a six-figure salary. You know, he's okay.
Well, we don't know that for a fact.
We know he makes pretty good money. Let's talk about Rocky Bayou. Rocky Bayou, man, they're going for this is a North Florida Football Conference opener against St. John Paul II. They're hosting them at Meg's Middle School. The good thing about Rocky's fifth in the playoff standings, so they're in line to make the 2A FHSAA playoffs. After this, they're going to be favored in this game because they're playing a team that is winless, 0-4 St. John Paul II. Been outscored by like, they're being outscored by 50 or 60 a game. It's embarrassing. So they should be 1-0 North Florida Football Conference. So they could theoretically win two conference championships, a conference championship, and compete for a state title. And that's kind of when you talk to Childress, he always talks about the NFFC title because that's kind of their bread and butter. They won it in 2014 and 13 and 14. It's pretty much a state title. Their state title back in the day.
And we've, you know, you've mentioned this before in the past that, I mean, Josh Childress is the only coach in the area or the most recent coach in the area to finish the season with a win, right?
Yep, and did it twice. And then they have a good quarterback in Aaron Grabinger.
I think you're pronouncing it wrong.
Yeah, that's a little Key and Peele. It's Aaron, but it's kind of inside joke with the team. Big Key and Peele fans, I guess. Those Christians like Key and Peele, huh? Interesting.
Yeah, a little bit questionable.
Yeah. Zach Balthazar, playmaker, still returning kicks, catching touchdown receptions.
Honorable mention for us for small schools breakout player of the year.
Yep. Frank Tiller is a decent player there. They got some playmakers. Those 20 kids on the roster, there's a few playmakers in there.
It's kind of surprising, but honestly, it's impressive.
Yeah. We got Snook Christian. I don't know. They're the team that all of our area teams play when they need a win. So Freeport is lucky enough to draw them at home. And Freeport is 1-3.
Yeah. And Sean Arntz said they're not going to overlook Snook Christian this week, even though it was total coach speak. But I'm sure he and his team, you know, they're itching for this win. You know, you get to 2-3. 2-3 doesn't look that bad, you know?
Yeah. And Brandon Siples, you know, I mean, he should have a huge day. Put him in your fantasy lineup.
Justin Clark has been impressive at quarterback. Sean has said he's really impressed with how the kid has been a leader for this team, you know, through kind of tough times. And this is his first year starting at quarterback, first year playing quarterback. So really high on him. I mean, it's going to be a good game. It, you know, just like for South Walton last week, you know, this could be sort of a springboard game for Freeport to, you know, make some noise here down the stretch.
That's all we got for the hot takes.
I think we're done.
That's it, guys. Our fantasy teams, by the way, are both 1-2. We are an embarrassment to the office. We still believe in our teams, and we feel that talent will win out. We just had a trade.
We traded with each other.
Yes, a lot of people thought collusion, but no. It was a good trade. I got Sam Darnold and Kareem Hunt.
And I got Patrick Mahomes and Jarvis Landry. So clearly I won the trade.
Mm-hmm. He needed some depth at quarterback because he was starting Sam Darnold. That's awful.
I made a mistake in the draft.
Yeah. Now you got Matty Ice and Carson Wentz and Mahomes. Obviously you're starting Mahomes. I needed some depth at running back, and Kareem Hunt's going to get his. So I felt confident in that. And I already had Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson, so I could say goodbye to a quarterback there.
We're trying to take the office by storm, and
we are trailing. One of our coworkers, she's 2-1. We don't even have to name her, but she was asking about Tyrod Taylor today and why he was not active. And we are trailing her. This makes me mad.
I did beat her though.
Okay, that's good.
That's her one loss was me, which is,
she's still 2-1. She still leads us in the standings.
I know. She picked first overall, though. So, I mean, you know, she had the opportunity to get some talent.
She picked Tom Brady.
Why'd you have to do that? They didn't have to know that.
Yeah. You're like,
Tom Brady, number one overall.
You're like,
folks.
Good for her. She took Gurley. Nope, she took Tom Brady. But we will, hopefully next week we'll reach 500 and then we can have some bragging rights. Because our editor was giving us crap
you
earlier.
Know, neither of us went 0-2. You know, that's sort of the death knell for playoff teams. You can't go 0-2 and make the playoffs. So we're not in a great spot, but we're in a solid enough spot. I feel confident.
Nice. Well, that about has it for week 6 of Armchair Quarterbacks.
Still without a sponsor.
What do you think? Maybe like Buffalo Wild Wings?
I'd go for Buffalo Wild Wings.
High.
We could do some like live broadcast there. You know, we talked about Whataburger last year. You know, Haverty's Furniture Store, something like that. Get us some cool chairs.
We're going to get some Rubens from Baxter's. I'm gonna plant the seed with them tonight.
You gonna drop it?
Yeah.
Hey, you heard my podcast? Check out my mixtape.
We got like 200 listeners. We famous.
Okay, 200 listeners. Appreciate y'all listening this week, and join us next week.
See you guys.
Later.